Hello, my name is Larry Killip, and this is episode 2 of my podcast, Anxiety, My Journey Back from the Edge, or My Journey from the Edge. Now, what does all that mean? Well, just to recap, I had a bit of an event about 4 weeks ago that seemed to sort of, although I'd had anxiety, you know, perhaps all my life, but not to a major degree. It was always generally manageable. I functioned. But in more recent times, I was noticing that I was building up and worrying about things unnecessarily that I didn't need to, you know. It'd go on all day and I just couldn't get rid of the feeling, that sort of thing. It was just really, you know, annoying. So I went to the doctor and I got, I said, oh, give me some pills. I was a bit blasé about it. No, don't give me any, don't give me any of that counselling thing. Just give me some pills. I was a bit naughty. And so he did give me some pills. He gave me some escitalopram, it's called. And I didn't know anything about that. It seemed like a good idea. He showed me on Google what it was all about. And I thought, okay, I'll do that. And I went home, and the next day I took one, and absolutely nothing happened, of course, or why would it? Just number one. So no problem about taking another one the next morning. So the next day I did. I took another one. Well, about 5 hours after I took that, I had this huge reaction, and it blew me out. It really did, and I'm still recovering from it. It seemed to sort of bring everything to a total head. What happened was I got... The first symptom was hot flushes all over my body, down my arms and tinglings, you know, down my arms and legs. And these would happen about every 5 minutes, like relentlessly. They just kept coming. And then, of course, I started to worry, what the hell is going on? And I got and my anxiety level went sky high and through the roof, really. And then I went, I had to get in my car and go to see a friend of mine just to, you know, get some support, because I felt I was on my own, you know, and nobody there seemed to be really too concerned. But for me, feeling it was terrible. I just felt terrible. So later that evening, in fact, about midnight, I tried to go to bed, couldn't do it, and I just ended up going to the emergency doctor, the clinic they have here in Auckland, New Zealand, you know, 24-hour thing. And that doctor pretty much could see that I was, you know, right up at the roof with my anxiety and stress levels, and gave me something to calm me down, and that was okay. So we got through the next day, and that was all right. But it wasn't all right. I could tell that the residual effect of this thing was still there, and I was still getting some of those hot flushes, so what I call them hot flushes, were just like hot tinglings down my arms, and I'd have these terrible panic attacks, you know, just this overwhelming fear would come over me. It was terrible, and you know, so I struggled through that day, and I managed to get to see my doctor on Monday, and I told him what happened, and he said, Oh, yes, that can happen. He says, it's rare, but it happens, you know, 1 in 1,000 sort of thing. Oh, no, tell me now. So what are we going to do? You know, what are we doing about this? I feel absolutely terrible. So he had to give me some prescription, you know. I ended up on lorazepam, actually, is what happened. And that did calm me down. That sort of helped me and brought me right. But I knew immediately that I couldn't stay on that. And I had to do something about this whole predicament. What was I going to do? And, you know, so I started looking into anxiety in a big way. I did a lot of research and understanding it. And but even so, that hasn't really, like 4 weeks down the track, what I'm trying to do is keep my the meds at a very low dose. I'm doing my very best to take as least as I can for now, knowing that I can't take these forever. And I've since seen a psychiatrist, and he diagnosed me as mild to moderate underlying generalized anxiety. Now, the thing is, I think that's what you see when I'm on the meds, but you take the meds away and I turn into moderate to severe. It's just awful. and it still does that to some degree. I can't seem to shake that. I mean, every now and again, I've tried sort of, you know, missing a dose just to see what happens, and with trepidation. And sure enough, you know, I get this overwhelming, nervy feeling, and a sort of a, it feels like I'm shaking, but it's nothing visibly shaking. And it's just a real brain thing, a bit confused and agitated as well. And if I take a med, you know, within an hour, I start to sort of stabilize. And so that's what happens, you know, it's the old cycle. So despite my going into and learning everything about anxiety and doing the breathing and doing relaxation exercises, I still haven't managed to stop that particular thing from reoccurring if I go low on the meds. I might add, though, they still occur, these feelings, but they don't seem to be as bad. I don't seem to be being hit, for example, with those terrible panic attacks anymore. That seems to have finally settled. And I did a lot of work on looking at those, you know. And I love it. I got some one-liners, and every time I'd see something that was valuable to me, I'd write it down. And there's some great one-liners. And with panic attacks, I have, panic attacks are fear of fear. And when you think about that, it's ridiculous. But you try and tell your body that, but, you know, it's a little cycle, isn't it? You know, think, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? You know, and trying to calm down the body sends a message that the anxiety is actually dangerous and makes it worse. So I've been through all these things, and trying to work out, you know, a lifetime of anxiety. How do I deal with that? An endless loop of overthinking, persistently worrying about something. I'm a bit like that. I can get my teeth into it, you know, my hooks into something, and I just find, despite all the rational explanations, I just can't let it go. And that's it's so powerful, you can't let it go, and it just takes over your mind. It's awful. Another big one that I realized, actually, and this I found unusual at first, and that is that acceptance has to come before change. So many, you know, various, you know, YouTube videos, various people had said to me that you've got to accept it. You've got to accept your anxiety. It feels hard to do that when it's happening. You just want to get rid of it. It's like, get rid of this. But you burst your way through it, or you hang in there with it, and that is what you've got to do. Because if you accept it, then you're sort of sending a message to your brain that it isn't dangerous. Hopefully, you know, it improves. But that's hard work. All of this is hard work. Generalized anxiety disorder, to come back from that, clearly it's hard work. You've got to keep on it and keep working at it. And I'm doing that. You know, I've joined an anxiety group, and that's all good. Although I find my anxiety seems to be a little bit different. You know, the classic symptoms seem to be, you're overthinking, over worrying, you know, you start breathing too fast, your heart beats faster, you sweat, and you don't sleep, and you sit there thinking about it all night. That's the classic anxiety, I think. Mine isn't like that. I actually can sleep pretty well, and I don't tend to get I get a little bit of my heart, yeah, my heart beats up a bit sometimes, yes, I don't get over-breathing. I don't tend to get to that. Maybe I'm just not that bad like that. Mine is more of a nervy thing. I can feel it down my arms, across my back, and it's an awful feeling. It just sort of takes over. It's like a big wet blanket on your back. And, when I say that's my kind of anxiety, I'll explain. The anxiety that I've had all my life is that one where you get a slight, you're on edge, there's a bit of a pit in the stomach, and it's just there all the time. You know, you've got to go to the doctor, and you're worried about it. So you worry about it, and you worry about it, and you get this terrible nervous feeling. That was my anxiety as I would know it. But after this event, this reaction that I had with this escitalopram, I've learnt to say that now, escitalopram, after that event, I'm left with this extra sort of weird brain feeling, you know, feeling slightly confused, feeling agitated, having this sort of wet blanket over me on my back that doesn't seem to go away, you know, and in amongst that, I was getting panic attacks and really, really being sort of frightened by those, but they don't seem to happen so much now. I just feel awful if I haven't taken my lorazepam pill. That tends to sort of bring me back to actually pretty normal. It's amazing, the transformation sometimes, although, as I've said, I keep trying to take a very low dose, and sometimes I get a bit of a mix where I'm functioning, but I haven't fully come out of it because I'm, you know, I've taken a low dose. And I've got to do that. And the other thing that happens, of course, is that I'm taking one about 7:30 in the morning as a low dose, and then I'll see how I've gone for the day, and maybe around 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, I'll take another dose, again, keeping it light. The problem with that, of course, is that by 5 o'clock the following morning, the whole thing's worn off, and I'm lying in bed with that terrible feeling. That seems to happen if I take too low a dose. If I take 1 milligram in the morning and then say 0.5 milligram at 4 o'clock, which still is pretty reasonably low, then I'm okay pretty much through the night and even in the morning. You know, that you wouldn't know I had a problem. But as soon as I go below the threshold, suddenly it's there, loud and clear. And that concerns me. How the hell do I get rid of that? So that's what I'm working on. In fact, if I have anxiety, I'm worried about my anxiety, where my anxiety is coming from. So that's just my personal take on it. But in amongst all this, I'm hoping that, you know, you may not share those same sort of symptoms. Your whole thing may be completely different. But the treatment and the dealing with it is all the same. And that's what I like. I use affirmations, you know, I talk out loud around the house. If I started to feel a bit crappy, I would sort of say, this is just my anxiety. That's the way my body is reacting to something it thinks is threatening. I'm safe. There is no threat. And I'll say that about 10 times out loud and to all the spiders in the walls listening to me and all that, you know. So and I find that helps a little bit, you know. It's not a magic pill, but and another one I say is, lighten up, take a deep breath. I am safe, there is no threat. That's a short one, or you could add on, my body is reacting to something it thinks is threatening. Apparently that's the big deal, you know. But how that works for me when I'm, you know, when I just feel got that awful feeling. It's almost, you know, it feels like a brain thing to me, but who knows. So, you know, rewiring the brain is another thing. Uncovering past experiences that are fueling etched patterns of anxiety or negative thinking. I bet there's a few of those in my system too. And I may look at that next. So, to recap, at the moment I have I've gone 4 weeks on medication, and it's taken me a while to work out exactly what the right timing and dosage is for me. And by the way, I journal all this. I have little you know, what do they call them, day pads with the weekly planner, where I've got the whole week mapped out, and I write down each day when I took some meds, how much I took. How did I feel after that? All sorts of various things to help me look back over 4 weeks. I mean, for example, last week, you know, I thought, oh, I'm 3 weeks in, let's have a good look. And I pulled out the bits of paper and I discovered that the week I had just had was actually worse than 2 weeks ago. So I thought I'd been improving bit by bit, but you know, it just didn't work out that way. So that's what happens, and you've just got to accept that and then try again. So this week I'm trying again. And I've had a good start to it. It's Wednesday today. I've had a good start to it, but then again, I did take a healthy 1 milligram on Monday, and that seemed to get me through into Tuesday quite nicely. Well, I took a third of a pill. I'm getting right down to thirds and quarters at six o'clock on Monday as well. So 7 a.m., 1 milligram, 6 o'clock, sort of a third, and by Tuesday morning, excellent sleep, no issues, you know, woke up fine. So then I thought, oh, I'm doing well. So then I sort of took just under a half a milligram. That happens by accident sometimes because I try to chop the pill up and I didn't get it quite right. So I gauged it to be less than half. I went and picked up my car from the panel beaters. I did a whole lot of things and I was good. And then I got through till 5 p.m. And again, I took another just under a half again at 5 p.m. So you can see I've scaled it down. So for that day, Tuesday, you know, we're talking less than 1 milligram now, and slept okay. But then this morning, bonk, there it was, around 5 a.m. I'd run out of puff. The meds had, you know, stopped working, and I was left to my own devices, and I was back with that agitation, confusion, and the wet blanket over my back, the sort of feeling of apprehension, I suppose you'd call it, all down my arms. Very physical symptoms, you know, but fortunately no panic this time. I wasn't leaping into, because I was getting those badly at first. They were terrible. You know, so far so good, I hardly have those now. So there is one improvement, but it's slow, you know, this is slow. But being slow, I can't keep taking all these medications for too long. I keep looking at natural alternatives, of course, and I have a little problem there. I also take warfarin because I had a heart surgery a year and a half ago, and I have a metal heart valve, so I have to have blood thinners. And there's just so many contraindications with herbal products and warfarin. It's unbelievable. However, I have my own little INR machine, and I keep an eye on my my blood measure. And, you know, if I'm going to take something else, then, you know, I just have to watch it. I am taking, I started about 4 days ago taking a good magnesium at night, and I think that helps me sleep. I can feel that making me sleepy. I take it an hour before bed, and by bedtime I can definitely feel it's quite nice. I tried some L-theanine, and I got a couple of days into that, and I wasn't convinced that was seeing me quite right. It might have been making me a bit sort of dull in the head. I'm not sure. So I'll come back to that. I take vitamin D. Now that, again, this is, I've only been doing this for about 4 days. Vitamin D and magnesium are the two big ones, and a vitamin B, you know, range of vitamins too. I walk 2Ks every day. Except that here in Auckland, in New Zealand, and the weather has been atrocious in the last few days. So I've had to miss 2 or 3 days. I did go for my walk this morning, and it was good. I find getting out is good. I feel good when I get out the door, or feel better. It's helpful to me, you know. And the times you stand there in the bathroom, for example, feeling anxious, you look in the mirror and you see a perfectly normal person. You know, my colour is good. My, you know, I recently had a whole lot of blood tests done, and they all came back just almost bang on. You know, all the measurements were almost all in the middle. And I read all those and thought, well, what are you worried about, Larry? You know, this is what happens. What are you worried about? And it's more than that. I think it can get to a point where you've actually forgotten what you've worried about. It's just become so ingrained in your system, or your brain has wired itself in a way that that it now behaves, you know, in full-time anxiety mode, I suppose. I will add, I am not an expert on these things. I am not. I'm just a punter going through life, trying to understand it and work with it. So, and I ramble on here for what it's worth. At least you can hear my story. So there we are. Not a lot has changed. I'm due for a follow-up with a psychiatrist in about 3 or 4 weeks. So that's quite a long way away yet for me to manage to get to, because I want to be able to report on it. That'll be a crucial meeting, I think, because that from that we get to decide where do we go from there. And I'm not sure I really want to be on any long-term serotonin inhibitors or whatever they call them. Isn't what I'd like to do. In fact, that's what it was, one of those that gave me that huge reaction. So I'd be very nervous to look at that. But anyway, that's something that in about 3 or 4 weeks' time, I have to regauge, you know, where am I at with this? Do I have to keep taking benzodiazepine or something every day just to offset this terrible feeling that's lurking underneath? What do you do? So I'm learning as we go. If anyone knows what to do, and don't just tell me that you just sip green tea or do something silly. Relaxing is good, of course. Don't get me wrong. I listen to quite a few hypnotherapy things online. I'll tell you one woman I've come across that does a lot on anxiety and depression. Her channel is called Therapy in a Nutshell. I recommend that. I think she's great. She's no nonsense, and she's got a handle on it. Because there is a bit of, you know, there's a bit of sort of wafty stuff there out there too, you know. And you don't want the people that just go, oh well, look, take a few deep breaths and you'll be fine, lad. You know, there's a bit more to it than that. And she's up with her research, and yeah, I just like what she says. That's about it, really. So we'll carry on and hopefully make an EP3 and wait for some improvement. I suppose I shouldn't be too impatient. We are only talking. I think I'm just heading into my 5th week now since I had that reaction that seemed to set me over the edge. It's almost as if I've had I have a post-stress disorder too. You know, I think I might have, because that really freaked me so much on the day that I had that reaction with escitalopram that it's embedded itself into my head. And if I don't have something to support me, I find that I keep coming back to that horrendous experience, reliving it almost, or feeling it. I don't know. So there we are. So really, it just comes down to, yeah, journaling is good. Write everything down. Set it up every day. Just write it down. And it's surprising when you look back over 3 or 4 weeks and you look back and you can get some idea of where you're going with it. And it's not a linear thing. It's, it's up and down. It really is, you know. I have 2 days with good. I find it hard to understand sometimes, you know. Why did I have such a good sleep last night? Why did I wake up with no issues? And then 2 days later, completely the opposite. Although, not so bad with the sleep. I'm pretty good with my sleep. I probably wake up about 3 times in the night and generally get back to sleep. And if I can't, then I'll put my headphones on and listen to a calming thing. There's some lovely sort of calming videos on YouTube as well. Another one actually that I find really, really good for relaxing, like talking you down, is a channel called Relax for a While. That woman is marvellous. She's got a really, really peaceful, calming voice that just lets you down and takes you down. And if I need to be relaxed, she'll get me there. That's great. Another one is, in a different way, is Gentle Whispering. She does ASMR, you know, basically just, but she's one of the best at it. There's quite a few with doing ASMR, relaxing type things, you know, and she's very good. But for therapeutical stuff, that Relax for a While is well worth it. Put some headphones on, just lie back and let her take you down, and it's you'll be pretty chilled at the end. It's great. So it's just all these little bits and pieces, isn't it? It's taking supplements, taking some meds, learning about it. That's a big thing. Learn about anxiety. Get to understand what causes it and how it works. And read affirmations. Get these wonderful bits and pieces. You know, if you come across a great line, write it down. Like, don't let your mind hijack you. I like that one. Here's another one. Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Carrying 2 days at once. It is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Mind you, we all know you can say all those things, but when you've got the problem, it can be well ingrained and hard to shift. That's the thing. So, yes, that is another thing. It was just a bit of universal synchronicity when we were out at a hospice shop or an op shop, we call them here in New Zealand, or a what do they call them, Swift shop. And my partner found a anxiety-free journal and said, oh, look, and someone had bought it and never used it, so because it has all these things that you sort of write stuff in. And I thought, oh, that's great, a guided workbook to empower and to calm you. So, and this is called the Anxiety-Free Journal. I don't know if it's still out there to buy, but it's good. It's actually very good. You know, there are some great things. You know, if you suffer from anxiety, you are not alone. Anxiety might act like the boss, but you are in control. Follow the steps in this journal and you will see clearly the tricks anxiety plays and acquire the tools to chart a more positive course for yourself. You can do it. Yes, I like that. The tricks. Anxiety plays tricks. It's a funny old world, isn't it? You know. So, accept uncertainty. You know. Worriers have a particular desire for certainty, which comes from a need to feel in control. Anxiety stalks, demanding we peer endlessly into a crystal ball, searching for a definite answer. But certainty is not possible in life. To be fully free of anxiety, you need to be able to accept this fact. Aren't those all very interesting little things? You know, they help you change the way you think and make you realize, you know, because if, like me, you've had a lifetime of behaving and thinking in a certain way. And here I am at 71, an active 71. I'm a musician, you know, and I write music and I've got stuff online. I've got 4 albums on Spotify. Larry Killip, you can find me. You know, I've been doing this all my life, but I did have events that possibly, you know, affected me. I mean, I remember when I was about 3 years old, my mother took me to the doctor. I had something wrong, I don't know what it was, and he had to give me an injection. And of course, at that age, or maybe I was 4, at that age, you know, that put the fear of God into me, you know. And he pulled out this needle and he's holding it in front of me, wants to give me this injection. And I just took off around the room. They both had to go running around the whole room to catch me and almost hold me down while he gave me the injection. Now, you know, it's funny, but I reckon that's all my life now. You know, whenever I've had to go to the doctor, I've got anxious. Isn't that funny? If I can blame that incident, I don't know. But, you know, I just know that I've always been anxious when I go to the doctor. And it's a real nuisance too, because it puts my blood pressure up. And I have to explain to them, you know, yes, I know it's high. This is not what it usually is. And it's so annoying, especially if I'm dealing with, say, a nurse or somebody who's not dealt with me before, and I have to go through the whole explanation all over again. So there we are, the trials and tribulations of coming back from an anxiety event that just about threw me over the top. Something pretty powerful. It still lingers there under the skin. It's still waiting for me. If I let my guard down or don't have, you know, my meds on time, then it wants to get to me. And I'm still dealing with that. Trust me, I can't go on like that. I'm working on it. But I'm better in terms of getting out and about. I was, say, 2 weeks ago, I'd be worried about having to, I've got to go to the dentist this afternoon, and it's not a big deal, but, and I'm not concerned, I'll manage that okay. 2 weeks ago, I would have been concerned that I might not manage that, but I'm okay about that now. So, you know, these are small improvements that I look back on and see that I have got somewhere at least. So let's do an EP3 in due course, and I'm hoping I can report better things every time, but it's a slow journey. My name is Larry Killip. I mainly do music production and sound mixing and songwriting and all those things. I was recently actually in a video by a New Zealand band called The Beths. You should look that up. That's T-H-E-B-E-T-H-S, The Beths. And they did a new video called Expert in a Dying Field. And I appear in that video because they're good friends of mine. So these are silly little things. And in fact, I remember being really, really anxious the day that we had to shoot that. I got all worried about it. I had a lot to do to prep my house and get it all ready, and it really threw me a little bit too. And that was prior to my having this horrible event or reaction with the famous escitalopram. So that's my thing. So yes, my website, larrykillip.com, and that's Killip, K-I-L-L-I-P. Lots of people put an O on the end there, Killop. No, it's Killip, larrykillip.com. Where you'll see mainly all my music there. Again, thank you for listening. I appreciate it.